It's time for another Castle Country Focus interview on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm Dave Hokanson. Joining me today in studio, I have Debbie Pappas with Second Chance Wildlife Rehabilitation. And, you know, we always like to bring Debbie in every now and then, talk about some of the things that maybe we should be looking out for when it comes to wildlife this time of year. And then, of course, you can never help enough. And Debbie is always in need of volunteers. And we're going to talk about how you can help out and maybe some misconceptions that people have about Second Chance Wildlife Rehabilitation. And we'll talk about that as well. Debbie, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, Dave.
So let's start off with, we were just talking before we came on the air. Of course, everybody understands and gets that this time of the year on the highways and things, deer are bad. They're bad all the time, it seems like. But this time of the year, they seem to kind of ramp up, and we need to be a little cautious and cognizant of where they are at. But the other thing that you wanted to talk about that maybe not a lot of people realize is that this is a really rough time for eagles and things like that as well, isn't it?
Always. So especially when the snow starts flying, you know, anytime the deer mortalities ramp up on the road, eagle mortalities are going to ramp up as well, because eagles, even though they're birds of prey, they're also scavengers. So you're going to see eagles on those bodies a lot more, because let's face it, if you can eat on something versus injuring yourself and going after prey, you're going to do that. So they're going to eat on those bodies. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand, but they think if you're driving down the road and there is a deer off to the side of the road and there's an eagle on it, and you're driving down the road and that you see that eagle and that eagle sees you, the eagle's going to just fly off. Well, nine times out of ten, that's not the case. The eagle is the top predator, and it is not going to move. They're big birds. They're at the top of their food chain, and it's difficult for them to move. So keep that in mind, and if you're not on a curve and you see that bird, please make adjustments. Don't just keep your fast speed. Slow down. Go around if you can. Don't make it a game that, hey, let's see if we can hit that. First of all, that's a crime. And second of all, that's just stupid. I mean, if you're trying to hit that bird, you're besides committing a crime, you're probably going to do damage to your car. I've had many cases where I've had DWR call me or the highway patrol, and the bird has gone through the windshield. And it's not pretty. I mean, the bird usually ends up getting killed, which there can be some legal ramifications from that when you knew that the bird was right there. And then you're going to get injured as well, especially if the bird doesn't get killed and is trying to get out of the car and you're right there. It's not a good situation. So let's be mindful of the bird situation, and that the bird is really doesn't want to move. It's trying to eat a meal. It can't move the deer on the road. It's just trying to eat and take advantage of a situation that humans caused, and it's trying to survive itself. And especially when there's a lot of snow there, I mean, it's just trying to do the best it can in circumstances that are not good. So and when there's a lot of snow on the road, I mean, it's difficult for the birds to hunt during snowy times. And when there's a lot of snow plowed up on the side of the road, it makes the roads a lot more narrow as well. And so it's just difficult for them to get out of that narrow roadway with a lot of snow on the sides of the road. So be mindful of that. Be mindful of what they're trying to deal with as well. So, you know, be kind. Don't be cruel. And yes, for the semis out there, yes, I know what you're dealing with. I grew up as a daughter of a semi-truck driver, I understand what you're dealing with. But also, you know, if you can see from a long distance, slow down as well. Those birds are also having difficult times as well. So,
all right. The other thing that we wanted to talk about is you are always looking for people to come out and help, to volunteer. And we talked about the fact that maybe one of the big misconceptions is that you are part of the Division of Wildlife Resources. That is not true.
That
you
is
are
not.
On your own.
Yes. Wildlife rehabilitators are not employees. We are not a part of, in any way, shape, or form, any agency. We actually exist because of a huge lack of abilities by the Division of Wildlife Resources to do this work. They actually need us. They don't have the ability, the resources, the time, anything else. So that's kind of why wildlife rehabilitators came about. You know, they realized that the work wasn't being done properly. It wasn't being done on a timely basis. It requires almost the knowledge and the training as a veterinarian. And you have to, every year, you have to have continuing education. You have to have that knowledge. It's not like, you know, you're bringing home a pet bird. You've got to, or even a pet mammal, you've got to have extensive knowledge and be willing to doing continuing ed with that. So, and you know, yes, we do work closely with the Division of Wildlife. We have to know, you know, the habitat people really well. We work with the biologist. I work very closely with their sensitive species biologist in our area, Scott Gibson. He's a godsend for us. And it's a conglomeration of working with a lot of different people. No one person knows it all. I mean, and if you think you do, you need to just get out of it and walk away. I mean, nobody knows it all. No one. But the reality is for the division, they just don't, they're not interested in our work. It's as simple as that. So that's why we exist. We're trying to fill a niche that needs filling desperately. Otherwise, lives would be lost. But the public, unfortunately, thinks the division does this work, and they do not. So the reality is we're trying to do this work with no funds coming in other than donations. We don't get paid by the division. We don't get paid by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services. But we have to answer to those entities because they are the ones that are basically licensing for the wildlife for the state's birds and for the country's birds, which the wildlife belongs to the citizens of the state, and but also for the entity, the government agencies that are trying to monitor legally what happens to them.
So let's talk for just a moment about different type of like volunteer opportunities, because it's simple stuff, and then you can get out there and come out and help out with just about anything, really. But let's talk about the different kinds of volunteers that you're really looking for.
Yeah, we have a whole host of things we need help with. It takes a lot of different types of help to run a facility like ours. Anything from my position, obviously, which there's only room for one me, but I need a lot of help like me. So the hands-on medical people that are willing to learn a lot of my skills, on down to people that want to help clean things, people that want to help build things. We need landscaping help all the time. We need people to help with paperwork. We need people to help with fundraising. My God, without money coming in, we can't do what we do. The surgeries alone, most of our patients require surgeries, run on the average of $1,500 to $2,500. We do 450 plus patients a year. You do the math. The money stopped coming in. We can't do that. No one in our facility takes any pay because we can't afford that. The money has to go to the wildlife. So, and we have to buy all our medical supplies. We have to have a vehicle that runs back and forth to vet's offices. It's just daunting. I mean, we have to buy food. Food supplies run on the average of $1,500 to $2,000 a month. It's again, it's just daunting. And you have to be, your freezers have to be full for anything, 24 hours a day. You have no idea what's coming in at any time. So you have to have it. You can't just run over to Walmart and buy, you know, food for a 24 hour old grebe. They don't carry that. They're not supposed to carry that.
So once again, if anybody wants to come and help out, anything like that, what's the best way to get a hold of you, to get in touch with you?
So my cell phone I carry with me all the time is 435-650-3441. The Division of Wildlife here locally, they know how to get a hold of me, of course. Those are the two best ways.
All right. And also, you are a complete 501(c). If anybody wants to make a donation or a cash donation, how do they go about doing that?
You can mail it to us. Our post office box in Price is post office box 430 at the Price post office. Or we do Venmo, Second Chance Wildlife. You can just stop by. We're out in Carbonville on 2000 North. You can come out there. It's not hard to find. Or you can drop something off, I would bet, at the DWR office. I'm sure they wouldn't mind that. It's not hard. We're in Carbonville. It's not like Salt Lake. It's huge. Everybody knows who I am. It's not hard.
Pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
Debbie Pappas with Second Chance Wildlife Rehabilitation. Thank you so much for taking out the time, coming in and talking to us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate you.
Now, for more information on interviews like this, you can always check out our website, castlecountryradio.com, and listen for Castle Country Focus on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.